Welcome, everyone, to this beautiful, beautiful evening as we approach the full moon time and as we gather for the heart of the Mother Waters. I just thank you so much. My name is Anne, and we have on this line right now Cynthia Sterling from the Water Spawning Line Council, Liz Addison, and Omide Yeye Oshun. I'm so grateful that we're all gathered and that we can grow this confluence of prayers, that we can grow this through the heart of our Mother Waters. I want to offer a brief prayer, and then we'll move through and flow through this beautiful evening and grow this 7 weeks of love and purification, listening to our Mother Waters. So, Holy of Holies, Mother Water, thank you for your reflections, thank you for your depth, thank you for crashing us and growing us and purifying us and flowing through us so that we might be more love, more life, more heart, more purification, so that we can be in service to you and your divine reflective wisdom. Thank you, Holy Mother, for this Water Song Line, for the Center for Sacred Studies. Thank you for all of the people gathered here this evening and all the ones that are wanting to further come together, and all the ways that this flows of the water are going to grow and expand so that we can become stronger with one another, more love, more purification. Thank you, Pachamama, Mother Earth. Thank you, Oya, Yansa, Mother Wind. Thank you, Holy Fire. All of this magnificent purifying elements that we might grow with one another, that we might grow more love, more belonging, more tenderness, more kindness, more ferocity, and more compassion. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Aho.
Aho.
Aho. Amen. I'm going to welcome all of you again, I'm sitting here with a bottle of water in front of me, and I want to encourage each and every one of you to have a glass or a bottle or a bowl of water in front of you, and keep so that these prayers, these thoughts, these teachings can flow into the water in front of you, and that after the call later today, you might offer it to yourself, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your plants, to your animals, to the Mother Earth, however you'd like, to a body of water, so that we can just grow this prayer more strongly, because as we all know, the water listens to us. And I also want to say, and I'll be repeating it later in the call, that we're going to be opening up a Facebook group. A link tomorrow will be sent to all the participants, and so that we can join in conversation and dialogue and grow this prayer with one another. That is the heart of our hearts here. Want to also say that there have been about 125 people that have registered for this course, and I know that it's going to expand and grow, and I'm really grateful for the spirit of sacred reciprocity, because that is truly how the Mother Water and the Mother Earth and all of this divine creation works. So thank you with all my heart to everybody who has joined, and all those, there are people in Europe who aren't able to because it's nth hour of the morning right now. So I want to say aho to all of you, and I'd like to offer it over to our Water Song Line Council members, starting with Omile, to give you all an overview of the Water Song Line, our vision, and for the confluence of prayers for the water. So I'd like to offer that over to Omile, however you'd like to start, sister.
Greetings, everyone, and as I'm thinking of how to start, I have water in front of me, so I just want us all to just look at the water in front of us, or imagine water in front of you, and just kind of take a deep in-breath and a long exhalation to release all the tension, and take another deep in-breath and an out-breath to release, release, release all the tension. And one more in-breath And a nice long out breath, just to bring us into the space of water, into the womb of our mother. I feel very humbled to be speaking to everyone, and I feel very moved today. And I want to say thank you to Anne for organizing this, and the Center of Sacred Studies for facilitating this, these teachings that have been long coming. And thanks to all the Water Songline people and everyone who's present today. It's amazing how water has brought us all together, all our journeys together, all our callings together. Water Songline started in that manner. Water Songline was birthed in 2012, actually at the Venus at the time when Venus was rising in front of the sun. From what I remember, it was actually around June the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a ceremony with my husband at a place called the Sacred Grove, and I brought out the sacred calabash, which belongs to the Mother Water, Mama Oshun. It was a calabash that was given to me in Nigeria, which holds her ashe, her power. And I brought that out, and after a two-day ceremony, the message came that there was to be a council formed, and that's how the council came about. But long before that, I think about a year before that, or 8 months before that, myself and my husband, Chief Oluwanikunikun, and Anne's dear husband, Bob Boyle, we were talking for almost 8 months or more on the phone, not knowing what was birthing itself. We didn't even know each other. Myself and Olu didn't know Anne and Bob, but we had got speaking to them, and we knew something was trying to birth. And eventually what came out after many months of talking every single week was Water Songline. And Water Songline is a coming together of all the energy of the Mother Waters from all over the world. And I believe that it's the Mother Waters and the Holy Ancestors and the Holy Ones who brought the Water Songline together in these urgent times, so that we can join as one in prayer together to help heal our world. And water traditionally is the element that resolves, dissolves, and carries things. The traditional role of water is to hear our prayers, and to hear our prayers, our cries, and to transmute those prayers and those cries into positive action and positive results. So this is just like a little snippet, and it really is a little snippet because it was a really long process of birthing, but this is a little snippet of how Water Songline was birthed through patience and listening and being very humble to listening to what Mother Water and the ancestors and the Holy Ones were trying to bring through in these urgent times. And so, Anne, I think I'll hand it over to Liz.
Yeah.
Well, I am humbled just to be here, because as you speak, only I feel the waters within us, and I feel the confluence of waters around the world all coming together to cleanse the earth. And I would like to give my thanks and my gratitude for all the sisters and all the people on the call, because it is through our voices that we are at present communicating. Our voices are very sacred instruments, and I feel very honored to raise my voice in prayer with all of you. and to encourage each of us to raise our voices in prayer moment to moment, giving thanks for all that is. So, Anne, would you like to go over your 7-week teleseminar before we get further into anything else?
Well, I'm sure, yes. And I'm wondering if, Cynthia, you wanted to add something about the water song line.
Oh, you put me on the spot. I thought I was going to just listen in because I'm new to the song line.
It's up to you, Cynthia.
I just love every one of you, just really love every one of you. And I've been praying for water, doing water ceremony for a long time, going, collecting water from different springs and going to the ocean and pouring that big bowl of water into the ocean with all the prayers. And I'm hoping by the end of these weeks that we'll all have a real, really good knowledge and ideas about how we can individually, each one of us, pray to water in the way that best suits where we are and who we are and what we love. And so I send my love out to all of you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so most of you have seen the layout of the 7 weeks. I'm just going to briefly go over the different topics. And as we are as women and as we are as water vessels and as we are as water bearers, we're going to flow and we're going to move with the spirit and how it moves. And we are going to open up a question and answer time, several of them perhaps in this hour and a half that we are together. So just so you all know, we definitely have a time where we can dialogue and we can communicate and grow this prayer. So today is called Catching the Golden Ball, Answering the Call to Be in Service. And I believe that all of us, every single one of us, it's the time where in this time of purification, in this time that many, many cultures talk about, it is a time that we have been called to and even brought here on this earth to offer ourselves so that we might be healing vessels and that we might be healing forces on the earth. So we'll be talking more about that today. And then next week we'll be talking about the Mother Water Goddess and the path of purification. And then Tuesday, November 18th, Water as a Sacred Giveaway, Sacred Reciprocity. There'll be always at least two of us on the call and perhaps more weaving in and out like Cynthia is today. So we're blessed in the Water as a Sacred Giveaway, Sacred Reciprocity. Liz and Cynthia will be joining us for that call. And then Tuesday, November 25th, Olu Anikinikun, who is Omile's dear husband, and my husband, Bob, will be talking about honoring the divine masculine and feminine. And I'm really grateful that these wonderful men are here standing with us and beside us. The December 2nd will be Water as a Sacred Mirror, and we'll be exploring the reflective aspects of water. And December 9th, we'll be talking about the Sacred Medicine Wheel, Primordial Womb of the Mother. And on the 16th, we'll be talking about the era of water and the prophecies for this time with Kazumi from Japan will be joining us with Omile. So just wanted to say that briefly, that we'll be exploring these various aspects of the Mother Water and, of course, any other things that might be emerging through this web that we are weaving. So, Omi, I'd like to ask you to open up then this conversation about catching the golden ball, answering the call to be in service, and we'll weave in together with you, and then we'll open it up to the participants to join in.
All right. Well, for some reason, I'm feeling like I want to sing to Oshun to bring in the lesson, and so I'm just going to honor her and bring her in because actually she's I want to speak about a story, a traditional story that will illustrate the hero's journey in catching that golden ball. So this song that I'm going to sing praises Oshun as the great mother. So Oshun is the Yoruba goddess of water and wisdom. But she comes in many names. She comes as Guanyin, she comes as Durga Parvati, Lakshmi as Spider Woman, as Changing Woman. So she really is the one mother, whatever language we choose to speak. So right now we're in the water, in the era of water. So it's the water that is speaking to us, is the great mother who is speaking to us, trying to pour her compassion and her love and her power of transformation into our hearts. So this praises her as the great queen, as the great one, and calls her energy in. Ore ye ye, ore ye ye, Oshun, 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 Irio wo lamwa, ore ye ye, Oshun, Irio wo lamfe, ore ye ye, Oshun, Irio wo lafia, ore ye ye, Oshun, Irio wo bobo, ore ye ye, Oshun, ashe, ashe. We live in a time when water's governing this time. And essentially, water is known as the blue gold. Now, many people use that term blue gold to mean that water is scarce and that the new defining moment is water. When they speak about water as blue gold, they're talking about water as a commodity. But when we speak about water as blue gold, we are talking about water not as a commodity, but as a sacred life giver. And there's a story about the princess and the frog. That from the water, that when the princess goes to the water, and she's at the waterways, and she's got a golden ball, and she's playing with the golden ball, and the ball is, she throws the ball up, and the ball ends up in the water. And she starts crying because she can't find the ball. She doesn't know how to get the ball back. And up comes the golden ball carried by a frog. Now, to get the ball from the frog says to the princess, "You have to take me home with you." And the princess promises that she will take the frog home with her if he gives her the ball. So the frog gives the princess the ball, and she starts running, and she runs back to the palace. And she's out of breath, and she's eaten her dinner, and lo and behold, the frog turns up. And her father makes her keep the frog as a guest. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the princess ends up kissing the frog, and the frog turns into a prince, the golden ball. Essentially, many of us here on this call, many of us here on the spiritual walk, were here because we've been thrown the golden ball. And even though the golden ball is a beautiful thing, and it has much to offer in terms of the things, the joy that it can bring to us and the world, what carries the golden ball is a frog. So many of us, for our life missions, it shows that the life mission itself, catching the golden ball, carrying the golden ball, taking it home, you have to take the frog home, meaning that you are now catching the golden ball. You have now just been initiated into your hero and feminine journey of walking the path. And walking the path is not easy. And that's what the frog represents. The frog represents, this is a beautiful thing. This is a gift. This is a gift for us to be able to do this. But yet it's not an easy path. Because who wants to kiss a frog? Who wants to take a frog home? And that's what embracing the calling is like. that at first it feels like this amazing thing, but it's this amazing thing that we feel a great resistance to. Because to catch the golden ball and to carry the journey, to carry the path of the calling, means that a lot of times you have to go against the norms of society. Because the reason why you have been given this mission is actually to help bring light back into the darkness. And therefore, that golden glowing thing that you're going to bring back to humanity is the very thing that will be rejected, is the very thing you're going to have to find a way to reintegrate back into what is being broken. As Joseph Campbell said, Joseph Campbell, actually the writer of A Hero's Journey and The Pathway to Bliss, Joseph said that humanity is free-falling on a floor of broken symbols, meaning that our humanity is falling apart. We are now entering the fifth extinction. And that's why many of us are here. Many of us are here because we have been called to be the heroes. We've been called to walk this path. Now, in traditional societies, that what happens is a lot of times you will go through various initiations to help you gain the tools that you need, to help you gain the things that you need, to help take you through one gate into another. But today, many of us are having to pay close attention to our dreams, to our visions, which is important on the path, but many of us don't have the physical guidance to guide us on the path. But yet we do have the spirit guidance. We have the messages, we have the symbols. And for some of us, and for many of us, this is also where a conflict can exist. Because sometimes we doubt that what we're seeing and what we're hearing and what we are knowing is for real. Because there is very little around us to validate these kind of experiences unless we are part of spiritual circles. And even when we are part of a spiritual circle, we can feel secure while in the circle. But what happens when you go out into the world? And so I just want to take a pause there for each person to think about what was it? What was the golden ball that was thrown out to you to catch? And just think about, how did that make you feel? How does that make you feel? What are the fears that come up within you? What are the doubts that come up within you? What is the conflict? Because these are the things that you will have to come face to face with on this journey. So I just want to kind of hold and pause right there and just open it up to Anne and Liz to just kind of open that, the flow of that dialogue up.
Thank you, Omi. So Liz, would you like to offer something in this ongoing conversation?
Well, I love the story, Omi. It is so much fun, and I was smiling remembering that parable. I had a similar question for the gathering, and that was, if you were living in a tribal community, who in the tribe are you? Who would you be in the tribe? Who do people come to you for? And I understand that there has been a conflict for us in our, in quote-unquote modern society, and I feel impulsed to admonish everyone who's on the call to follow the impulses. Follow the impulses and trust absolutely in the vision, because each of us is incarnated at this time in order to be stewards for the new paradigm. I would like to speak my own story on the notion of having to create my own initiation in this society. I've always been a composer, a vocalist, and a dancer. Since the age of 11, when I received my first channeling, which was receiving a piece of music that I composed and wrote down. And 2 years earlier, a voice popped into my head telling me that I was an old soul. I was 9 years old. It was 1967. And I remember sort of looking around going, how do I know that? I'd always had an impulse to give and serve. My father was a Jewish surgeon, and he modeled this for me. But as an artist, the emphasis in our society was always on the self, and this created conflict within me. It was always about having to get attention. It was always about me and I and being up on stage. And however, in my late teens and early 20s, that composing of music became a gift to me in the form of healing. Because it was, you know, the 70s, and it was after the war-torn world and the civil rights movement and all the change and my family completely falling apart, and that gift that I was given became my psychotherapy. I literally composed music and songs and studied my dreams and did read Campbell and did Jungian dream therapy and dream analysis to get through those gifts that I was given that seemingly were supposed to be to become a performer or an artist were healing tools. I didn't have anyone to initiate me. It wasn't until a little later when the teachers came. First, the teachers were synchronicities and dreams and visions and journal writing and receiving these spiritual songs. But then they became the sweat lodge. They became Grandfather Wallace Black Elk. I went into a sweat lodge, and the grandmother's council were there in corporate, without bodies, above the sweat lodge, telling me they were going to initiate me. I had spiritual teachers, Abhidhas Samraj, and my music teachers, Pana Pranath, and eventually the Akashic Record keepers. And little by little by little, I became initiated by using my spiritual discernment to listen to the voices of wisdom that had my highest and best at heart, so that ultimately I could take the gifts that I received innately that are seemingly just like fluff, entertainment, and turn these into a healing practice. When I hit 50, I had been working with some chakra healing chants for 16 years. And the Akashic Record keepers told me after I'd recorded these chants, I recorded them through bizarre circumstances. I was working at a rehab center doing a drum circle, and the man said, will you record these chants? And I went, wow, why didn't I think of that? You know, I've got a recording studio. And when that was done, I had an injury. I could do nothing but record that music. And when I was done, the Akashic Keeper said, move those chants. I moved the chants. They told me, this is what I've come to do. This is your work. It's kinetic voice. Kivo for short. You're to help people remember circle song dance, healing with sound, healing with movement, connecting to nature. We're stewards for one another. Each of you has a magic gift. You have the golden ball. And I'm thrilled that you are here with me, with Anne, with Omi in the world at this time, because there's much work to do. I'm hearing some some noises in the background, and I wish to say that we are in such critical times that it appears that everybody's deepest wisdom is being required at this time. And if this means translating whatever it is that we receive wisdom from the great tradition. We receive wisdom from our families and our ancestors. And it is up to us to craft an offering through our unique talents and gifts in this incarnation so that we can serve our community. So I come back to the initial question, who are you in the tribe? What are your special gifts? And may I help you bring them forth?
Thank you, Liz. Are you complete?
I'm complete.
Thank you so much. I just want to add a few things to this beautiful conversation and weaving. The way that I understand service, I love this question that Omi brought forward about when did you catch the golden ball and what did it feel like and what did it look like? And the question that Liz brought forward is, who are you in the tribe? What is the context within which you would be in a culture that is integrated and grounded, in which everyone belongs to a sacred hoop of life and has a place in that hoop of life? Some of us have been brought up more tribally than others and want to acknowledge that and honor that. And in this day and age, a lot of us, even if we have tribal ways, we're not, the tribal ways have been shredded and come in pieces and not as a whole. One of the things that I have been reflecting on is coming toward this night is that all of us receive initiations in different ways. Sometimes they come through dreams. Sometimes they come through very difficult situations. I know myself, I have a history of domestic violence, a history of sexual violence, and some of that has been my initiation to be able to walk forward with compassion and love and purify and heal and reach out for healing in that initiation and then transmute that suffering, transmute that pain into my medicine. And I know that there's sometimes we have initiations through dreams, and that, like what Omi was saying, is that sometimes those dreams are those visions, those recognitions, those communications with the animal and spirit world and the bird realms and the different beings on this planet, those communications, there's no context in most of the society as we live in for that to be recognized. And so many, many people, quite often many women have been institutionalized, have been called crazy, have been called witches and whatnot. So I'm really myself really aware that more and more as I devote myself internally to transmuting the suffering into medicine, and as I receive more and more different initiations through the various cultures and the various people and my own ancestors that have initiated me, that what is happening now is my service is arising right underneath my feet. I don't have to go out and ask for it. I don't have to seek it. I don't have to grab for it. It's just arriving right in front of me. Every day there's opportunities to be able to give and to love and to create circles of belonging. And so I really know that in the deepest part of my being, that our service is something that is, our life is, can be an offering. And I know that through my experiences over the decades, that that's how it's come to be. I just saw a bumper sticker today, which kind of connects in with what Omi Lay and Liz were saying, is women who behave rarely make history. And I was thinking about that in terms of the direction that my life is going, because I'm breaking a lot of rules. I'm breaking a lot of protocol. And I'm really looking at protocol, because I've been involved in the Native American Church. I've been involved in sweat lodges, and I honor, I've been taking care of those for 20 years with my husband, and I honor them deeply, and I wouldn't change the ways, and I wouldn't break the protocol within those ways, because that's how they were passed to me, and I honor them, and they're beautiful templates of healing. At the same time, sometimes we need to question the protocols outside of the ceremonies, or we have to question the protocols, because I really fully believe that protocol is worth following if it serves the prayer. And sometimes protocol gets a hold of people and makes it become a way of oppression and another way of controlling people's spirituality and dominating people's spirituality. And I believe that we are walking into an age where we sit in circle and each one of us have permission to fully come forward to the fire and come forward to the center. And that that is the original Gnostic way, the way Jesus sat with Mary Magdalene and the disciples, that they sat in circle and they honored each other's medicine. So I want to say that at this point. And I once again thank everybody on this call, and Omi and Liz, Cynthia, are you, I think it seems like a good time maybe to open it up to some questions that people may have.
Yeah.
Or dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Open it up to the
Let's
dialogue.
Let's go.
All right. So that's what we would like to do, and if anybody has a question, you can press number one on your phone, and you will light up. And then we can You might already be lit up.
Most likely they're lit already.
All right, we have a few people. Okay. All right, so Elizabeth Harada, thank you for raising your hand, and we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. I live on the Puget Sound in Washington. I have water surrounding three sides of me, and I every day what I do is work on cleansing, purifying, and healing the water. That's what I was sent up here to do 2 years ago. And my question is, how many people listening feel that the ocean itself is actually the womb of the earth, as the earth is actually 70% water, and our focus on healing the waters is just so important and impressive to me, and I just feel so blessed that there's a group of people that feel the same way and are doing the same work that I'm doing. I don't have others to talk to about it, and it's just a blessing to know that there's others out there.
Thank you. Thank you. So maybe what we could do to answer your question, Elizabeth, is anybody, if people feel that this the Mother Ocean is our womb of the earth, that will this work, Margene, if everybody presses one from right now? Or will that confuse the system?
Like American Idol or something. Yes.
All right, we've got one. Right now I think everybody's answering that yes, the mother water is, the mother ocean is our.
I can open to the micro to all.
Sorry, Martine.
I can open the mic to everybody. What do you think?
Sure. If we open the mic to everybody, how about this? How about we open the mic to everybody, and we all at the same time make prayers to the Mother Ocean and give thanks and offer love to the Mother Ocean, and then we'll finish that, and then we'll move on to more questions and comments. Can we do that?
Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
All right. We're gonna do that.
Hashem, Mother, Great Mother Ocean, Great Mother Spring, I honor you, I bless you, I thank you, I thank you in reciprocity for all your generosity.
Voices and energies together.
Great Mother.
Thank
you. Wow.
Thank you, everybody. Yes. So, Thank you so much, Elizabeth Arada, for that beautiful offering. It's true that Mother Ocean really is the heart of and the womb of all. So I see some other ones on. If people have questions, still want to open it up to more. Kathleen Kennedy? Would you like to ask? Whoop, there's an echo here.
Hi, this is Kathleen.
Great, thank you, Kathleen.
I'm also up in the Puget Sound, and it's in Washington State, and I celebrate the water on the new moons and the full moons, and sing and do movement, and I'm using the acupuncture meridians. I just pretend that Fukushima comes in to my office as an acupuncture client or any of the bodies of water around the planet, and I give offering for the vibration of nutrients and cleansing and things like that. So I don't have a question as much as I want to thank you all for what you're offering, and I am suddenly discovering all kinds of new family and new relatives that I have around the world that I didn't know I had.
Mm. Yeah, ashe.
Ashe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I see that this is what it's about. This is what we've been praying about. This is what Water Songline is about. It's not just about us as a council holding some information that no one has. It's us coming together to augment what we have and praying together and then opening it up to a wider circle of people all around the world, because we represent people from all around the world. And so thank you very much. And for those of you who haven't tuned into the Water Songline website, please do. It's watersongline.com, and we can continue to grow this even after the 7 weeks. Is there someone else that would like to offer a comment or a question or prayer here at this time? You can press 1. Here we go. Victoria, would you like to offer?
It's Victory, actually.
Excuse me, it is Victory.
That's okay. I just really, first of all, just want to thank you so much for putting this out here and for gathering us women in a good way. I really honor you for everything that you do, and for Center for Sacred Studies, you're just such amazing women. I've had the honor to work with the grandmothers and to work with Grandma Aggie and help to co-lead water ceremonies. And so I just wanted to offer Grandma Aggie's words because she's kind of my hero when it comes to these things. And she just has repeated again and again to not only think of the water and be in gratitude in the full moon or the new moon or maybe even when we are having a hard day and we remember to pray, but to think of the water at all times, to think of the water that we drink and to say thanks. To say thanks when we're in the shower and when we're in the bath. She even says in her funny Grandma Aggie way, just think of it even when you go to the bathroom. Because when we drink water in, we put water out. And I love that, you know, there is no separation, that ceremony truly is every moment and every breath. And water is who we are, and especially as women, you know, the moon pulls on us, pulls on our inner waters, and that can come out as tears. And that, too, is a part of the beauty of water. So I'm so grateful, again, for you calling us in. And I just wanted to remind us all to be thankful for the water and to be thankful for the water in ourselves and to be thankful for ourselves and the beautiful beings that we are. And together, we are that reflection of divinity. Washte. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is anybody else would like to offer something into this beautiful pool of water that we are? Press the one if you'd like to join in. All right, Tracy, my beautiful daughter.
Good evening. So great to hear you all. You, Mom, thank you. What I wanted to share, what's just coming to me, is this realization of, or just remembering, it's coming up right now to share how, of course, we are the water. Our bodies are the vessels holding the sacred water that is the same that is upon the earth, the womb, the ocean womb, and that to remember that as to heal the waters upon the earth is to heal the waters in our body and what we put in our bodies. So like we treat the waters and the rivers and the ocean and that we treat ourselves that way too. So with the food that we eat and the things that we drink, just remembering that that is truly how we can heal the waters upon the earth is by what we put in our body. So just having that remembrance, too, that not just the water we drink, but the tea, the coffee, the, you know, whatever it is, the soda, the just having that remembrance of being able to bring about that awareness of healing. That's what wanted to come through. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that's wonderful. Janelle, you have your hand up. You're lit up.
yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay. Thank you for taking our call. I'm here with my daughter, and her name is Oshana. She's always kind of had the spirit of the ocean, and we just wanted to say thank you, ladies, for helping the both of us learn more about what water means to all of us and how to honor her and how we can carry this for our future generations. Thank you so much. And she wants to say thank you to the ladies.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, for our beautiful children and grandchildren. So, anybody else would like to raise their hand and offer something into our circle? I see that Kaya, is that how you pronounce it, Kaya?
Yes, yes, hello.
Hello.
It's so nice to hear you all this evening, and I live by the ocean also, and I'm actually American Indian, and I'm very well acquainted with traditional initiations and all of that. It's been a part of my life since I was a little girl, and I'm way past being a little girl anymore. But I wanted to share that I know amongst my people that it's very important right now to protect the water. Above and beyond everything else is to really fight for water purity, because it's really disturbing all the spirits in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we need to really, 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 really pay attention to, is to just the nitty-gritty of keeping horrible chemical pollution out of the water, mercury out of the water, all of that. And it's affecting everybody in the world. And I've held a station. I'm also from the Native American Church in Hopi, and my religion is from way out on Third Mesa, and I've been water woman. And the power of the prayers that we can all say that involve water are so deep and so beautiful. And I think it's of equal importance to really, really fight for the purity of the water that's left. I'm in California, and we're obviously going through a terrible drought here. And it rained for the first time, a real rain, in quite a long while, just a few nights ago, and it was such an amazing thing to even hear the water hit the ground again here. And it's shifting all over the world, and is apt to create famine and a lot of mold problems and this and that and the next thing, and we've got to really address pollution and fight for the water's right to just be, and for the spirits to be happy again with the water spirits. I wanted to add that too, along with gratitude comes responsibility to really do whatever we can to graciously, you know, find a healthful home for the water that's here. I guess that's about all I wanted to say, and it's lovely to hear everybody's voices, and it's wonderful. And as we would say, Nayawa, which means thank you.
Ashe. Thank you. Victory, you have your hand up again. Would you like to share?
Yes, please forgive me for going twice. It just came into my field that I just really wanted to honor speaking of water, that sometimes water also can mean grief in our tears. And with Dia de los Muertos and honoring our ancestors, there's also been a lot of deaths happening, especially I'm in Portland, but I'm also involved in the Native communities in Washington. And as you know, we just had that terrible shooting in Marysville, and we lost our children up there. And one of our young women died just the night before last. And so I just really wanted to offer into this circle just the holding of those families in the community, and just furthermore, of all of our children especially, that whatever anger and pain and whatever is going on with them, that we can bring that cooling water in to heal some of that fire and help to heal them so that there's less violence. And I just wanted to wrap those communities in our love. Thank you.
Ashe. Thank you. So we'll continue to keep the lines open. If someone wants to raise their hand by pressing 1, that would be wonderful. While we're waiting for somebody who may want to speak up, one of the thoughts that I have is that this circle, this water song line in these 7 weeks, that we can really grow this love into action, that we can support one another. Maybe we'll find people locally or nearby that are holding the same prayer or even across the world, and that we continue to grow this prayer. Like I've said and like we've been seeing, so our wisdom combined can really move into action in which ways, many different ways are possible. And one of the things that Water Songline Council is doing is we're planning to have a gathering in Washington State where the mudslide was, and where one of our dear sisters, Robin Youngblood, was actually in it, in her house. Her house moved a half a mile. She was in it. And we're going to be going up there in the spring equinox and making prayers for the waters. And we want to offer that, open that to as many people who can come and join us in that prayer. So that's one of our goals in this teaching time, opening up for donations to help us go there and for as many people as can who to come. So that's one of the ways that we can move into action. And there's so many different ways that we can support this purification of the waters, purification of ourselves as well. So does anybody would like to say something? You can press 1.
Hey, and Mother, may I?
You sure can.
This is Olu, and I will just feel the need to say that, you know, I don't know whether that princess ran from that frog because she was just trying to get away from a purpose, or was she afraid, but the word that comes to my mind is courage, and how important for all of these journeys, how important courage is. And I really, really lift up Water Songline. I really lift up all the people that are supporting the waters, and I honor the courage to step into your hero, into your journey in these times, because these times requires courage, and we got to own that. Aho.
Aho, Ashe.
Thank you, Olu.
And can I just, when you were talking about the song lines, water song lines, it came to me, some of the discussions we were having about the song lines of the mother, of Mother Earth. So when we talk about water song line, we're not really talking about an organization per se. We're more talking about a network of these song lines. Aborigine, that's where the word song line comes from. So for the Aborigine, I just want to read this for everyone. For the Aborigine, a song line is also called the dreaming track. It is one of the paths across the land, or sometimes the sky, which marks the route followed by localized creature beings during the dream time. The paths of the song lines are recorded in traditional songs, stories, dance, and painting. A knowledgeable person is able to navigate across the land by repeating the words of the song, which describes the location of landmarks, water holes, and other natural phenomena. In some cases, the paths of the creature beings are said to be evidenced by their marks. By singing the songs in the appropriate sequence, indigenous people could navigate vast distances, often traveling through the deserts of Australia's interior. The continent of Australia contains an extensive system of song lines, some of which are a few kilometers, while others traverse hundreds of kilometers through the lands of many indigenous peoples. If the song lines are not sung, then it says the earth will die. And as everyone was, talking to me, as everyone was sharing and talking, what the song lines really mean was coming up really strongly. Mm. That the waters are helping us to navigate our way and traverse across the vast expanses of issues, problems, but also vast of helping us navigate our way through this entire problem, this entire issue, crossing our pathways back together again, so we can sing the song of the earth and the waters again, so we can sing the song of life, compassion, and oneness, so the earth can live and not die. So the water is like helping to guide us back to life again through us drinking the essence of what it is to be human, which we've gone away from. We've gone away from being whole human beings, from the wholeness of who we are. So water is there reminding us every time we look at the dirty water, we are not. When I had my call into this journey, when I dreamt, had three dreams of a woman calling me in her dreams to help her save the world, and a priest, an African priest, divined on the dream and said, "It's the mother calling you to help her." And I said, "Well, how am I going to help her?" And he said, "The answer will come." And one day when I was praying, I heard, "Go to water." It was the simplest answer, and I was, being a very analytical person, I was like, how is going to water going to save the world? How is that going to, how, what does that do? So I went back to the priest, and the priest divined and said, yes, the oracle is saying you must just go to the water. And I had no idea way back then, 7 years ago, how going to the first sacred river was going to end up going to many, many rivers, how the wisdom of the, when you go to the waters, the wisdom of the mother waters will begin to speak to your being. And she opens us up to a wholeness in our world. She takes us across the veil so we can actually not just see with our physical eyes, but we can see with our third eye, and we can join the spiritual and the physical world back together again. Just as the Mother Waters did in the story of Isis and Osiris. Isis is a water mother, and Osiris was broken into pieces, and it was her job, and it was her compassion, and it was her grief and her desire to bring him back together again, which gave her the courage to walk and traverse across the many song lines to refind every piece of his body again. And when she refound his body, he became the symbol of divine man, divine immortality, divine wholeness, and that is what water brings back to us. Water brings us back together again. Someone used the word remember. If you break the word remember down, you take it apart. It means to remember, to remember, to bring back the pieces back together again. So that's what was coming to me. And as everyone was speaking, was the whole thing about the song lines and traversing these difficult times together, singing those songs together.
Mm. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's true. It's the water song lines are also the way that the song lines are. And I remember, Omide, when you and I, it came together that we would call this confluence of prayers, the water song lines, because of the nature of the water that interconnects all of us. And I was thinking as you were talking that the water song lines are also, and these song lines also go back into our ancestry where we remember who we are. through our dreams and through who we are, and that reconnects us with our lineage of the women that carried water in all the different peoples. Women carried water, women went to the wells. In my Jewish ancestry, I'm recognizing my lineage in the Mari lineage, which is Mary, Mary Magdalene, and Miriam, all the way back to Miriam, who are water bearers and water carriers and prayed for the waters. And Miriam herself danced with the drums and with the women as the Red Seas were parted. And it's not really clear, really, that Moses may not have parted the Red Seas, that perhaps Miriam and the women parted the Red Seas. And that Miriam was the one where she died, a spring rose up. And when her brother Moses was a little baby, she was the one who put him in the river to protect him. So the way that I understand my lineage as a Mari lineage and as a Jewish woman is that I come from a long line of water keepers and women who had ways with the water. And that was, so I when you were talking, Omile, I was thinking about that water song line, going back to my ancestry and looping back into the current ways that I have been given to tend and take care of and carry the water. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much, Omi and Anne. Those stories are so beautiful. And Omi, when you were speaking your beautiful story, just the other day when Mahea, who's another member of Water Songline, and I did a water blessing ceremony, and we poured the waters in with our group after we prayed and sung upon them, the water answered us with a song. Mm. And that's a Water Songline song, the wisdom carried in that. And I think even as our we're connected to our ancestral memory, we're connected today, this moment, with the song of the water. And we only need to listen and allow her to sing to us, and we can relearn as we remember and sing those songs back to her for our wholeness. And I trust that she will teach us ways to clean the water with her songs.
Ashe. Mm-hmm. And you know, Liz, as you were saying that, a story came to my mind about Oshun, the Mother Waters. And there's a song where there's a village of men and women are arguing. And because they're arguing, everything stops working. There's no unity. So the whole society begins to fall apart. So they called the different experts in to try and bring the village of men and women back together again so they could be one. And each person failed. Well, everyone always forgets Oshun. Everyone always forgets the mother in all the stories. Just like we forget water, we forget, we've lost our memory that the reason why the ancients always had sacred pools and lakes outside of the temples is because water is the portal to the other world, to the sacred world. Water is the fastest highway to get our prayers heard. Anyway, so Oshun said, okay, I will go and try. And everyone was like, ah, what can you do? You're just a woman. She's like, okay, that's okay. Oshun, all she did, she took a drum into the village of women, and she didn't say anything. She just started drumming. And as she started drumming, she started moving with the drums. And as she started drumming and moving, all the women began to move with her. And she began to move forward with the sound and the rhythm. And the women ended up in the village of the men, and the men and the women started moving together. And what happened through the rhythm and the movement, that oneness was recreated again. And Oshun actually saved the world by bringing the masculine and the feminine back to wholeness again, and stopping the arguments and the dissension and the division and the divisiveness. Now, Oshun, each of the water mothers from each of the cultures represents the powers of water as an element. So now you've got to break them down. So that story tells us that water is the thing that will reunite all the elements back together again and reunite the power of the masculine and the feminine back together again. Reunite the waters within ourselves back together again. So in a harmonious, the story talking about living in a harmonious way with nature and each other. So as you were talking, Liz, that story was coming real strong to my mind.
Mm.
Beautiful. I love to hear your stories, Oni.
Thank you. Yeah. So I wanted to, again, open it up to anyone who wanted to contribute to the conversation here with a question or with a comment or with a story or a song or any kind of contribution. I want to open it up again. If you have something you'd like to offer, please, you can press 1. All right, Kathleen.
Yes, thank you for allowing me to speak one more time. My friend Marcia Wiley taught me something, and I wanted to pass it along. She took a small sign and painted on it, thank you, water, love. And so I got just mail stickers, you know, that you would just stick on anything, just small stickers. And I put, you know, thank you, love, water, or I've been reading the work of Victor Schauberger. People don't know his work. He does wonderful work with water. And so I just write that, so I do some of his implosion symbols, and I put this over my shower head and over my kitchen tap, and I give it out to my clients and just try to get the word out there. And it just helps so much to have that little sign over the water tap that says, you know, thank you or love or appreciation or whatever, however, gratitude, however that comes across for people. So I wanted to share that my friend taught me that. I started doing it, and I'm like, this is really wonderful. It's such a great reminder. So thank you.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you very much. Polly, you have your hand up.
Thank you very much, and I've just come into the conversation, so I missed everything that's happened thus far. I have a question that's really a calling, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak and for the opportunity that you have created in gathering all of us together. I've been feeling very called to be a water carrier, without really having an awareness other than I've seen references to it in print. And so I ask for counsel on how to do that and what it means. Aside from already having asked, you know, aloud to the universe that I be guided in this on this path.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question. I'd like to open that up to Omi, Liz, and I might jump in too. It's a great question.
Thank you. And I'll add one other thing, and that is that I have for many, 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 many years, it's been my daily practice to bless the waters of Earth. So I am listening. Thank you for your responses.
Do you have a tradition that you operate in that would have a relationship to something like a baptism or a blessing?
Only what I know from what comes from within me, not a tradition that I grew up in or have been trained in.
I have an image of you with water in a horn or some kind of a vessel, and that you, as you travel, you provide ceremony, and it would be like an anointing or a baptism or a blessing of various individuals who wish to receive that from you.
That is lovely. Thank you.
Do you wear scarves a lot?
Rarely.
Okay. They're just very flowing because there's this whole I have an image of you, you know, very flowing. And may I ask what you do for work?
I offer a constellation of services and products for human and other animals, and that includes visual arts, energy, harmonizing, co-creating with nature, aromatic spritzers that are combinations of essential oils and essences, sometimes making essences.
And then you could very easily incorporate a blessing, a water blessing ceremony into your offerings, yeah.
Yes. And
very sacred. It's very sacred.
And it is. And the water's blessed in making the spritzers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when I have taught and teach any kind of energy-related workshops, water is included in that, either as a bowl, within a bowl, on the altar or mesa, or often carrying a bowl to each individual that has essential oils and essences in it for them to wash their hands, and also flicking the water around the room for space clearing.
Yeah, I can see you anointing someone's feet with the water cleansing, and also blessing someone on their head. It's very sacred, very sacred work.
All right, thank you, Liz. Omile, did you have something that you would like to offer around that?
I just have a water song that's moving through me what's the caller's name again?
Polly.
Sister's name? Polly.
Polly?
Polly. Polly. I just want you to fill this song, Praises of Shona's The Queen of the World. And so what I'm seeing for you is just, I just want you to feel this and let it move in your body. And, you know, to work with water, what's coming to me real strong for you is just be with the water. Just commune with Mama Water. Be with her and ask her for guidance. And trust what you feel and what you hear and what you... teacher, and feel her joy, you know, open up to her expansiveness. As I sing this song, I just want you to just kind of move your body like water a little and activate that energy of the mother water in you. Alanga. Start again. Alanga la fila fioshun, alanga la fila funye, alanga la fere keyere, oshunga la fila funye, alanga la fila fioshun, alanga la fila funye, alanga la fere keyere. Oshunga la fila funye, alanga la fila funye, alanga la fila fuyoshun, alanga la fere keyere, oshunga la fila funye, alanga la fila fuyoshun, alanga la fila funye. Alanga la fere keyere, ocean gala fila funye ye. Poly ocean will bring the messages to you. Ocean will, as the mother, in whatever name you call her, she will show you the way. Open your heart to receive in the wisdom. Open your heart and you will feel the courage to move forward on your mission. Activate her in your being and dance with her. Love her. Sit with her. Allow her to dream you. Allow her to wrap you in her essence. And that way, you can follow the path that she will unfold for you, specifically for you. The magic that you will bring forward through the waters will be your medicine to the world. Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Thank you, Omi. Thank you, Liz. And thank you, everybody, on this call and the different medicines that you carry and you walk with and that walk with you, dance with you, sing with you, fly with you. I want to add just one more thing to these beautiful offerings is that there's different medicines of the water. There's Yamanja, the salt water. And there's the waters, the fresh water, and then there's different ways that the fresh water is on this earth, the waterfalls and the lakes and the rivers, and all of those have different medicine and carry different ways. And many of you, I'm sure, already have that connection with which waters you're aligned with, and the waters will speak to us and share with us if we humbly approach them, just like all of these sacred spirits and beings, seen and unseen. How we approach them is the key, that we approach with humility and love in our hearts. So just so grateful for this initiation of this time together. And for those of you who were not at the beginning of the call, I want to say that tomorrow we will be sending out a Facebook link to a private group where you can continue to converse with one another. And in a few days, we'll be sending each one of you the recording for this call. And each week, we'll be sending you the recordings from the previous call. And I want to encourage each one of you to put the word out to your loved ones, so that we can just grow this circle of love. And I'm really grateful that we could offer it in the spirit of sacred reciprocity. And I'm really grateful that you all answered the call. And it's really been a wonderful flow coming in since we kind of took the lid off. The way that we understand it is that because we're offering prayers and songs and we want to make it available to everybody possible, and we cannot put a price on love. We cannot put a value on it, this invaluable love and life that we are participating in. So just again, want to offer my thanks and my love to each and every one of you. And for those of you who want to stay on and move into breakout sessions and be in a circle of six or so people on the call, and communicate further with one another, you can stay on the call. And before that, I'd like to offer one more prayer, and then we will commune again next week and continue this beautiful circle. So, Omile, would you like to offer a prayer?
Okay. I was thinking about, you know what I was thinking of, Anne, when you said that? I was thinking about that song, the song that you sing. The one that's on the Water Songline website.
Away, hey, Anne, away, yes. Would you sing that?
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
That's so funny because I was thinking about that too. I was thinking about that. Maybe I should sing that song. And then
yeah,
I,
that'd be a nice way to give.
All right, I'll sing it. I'll sing it. It's a beautiful Arapaho song. Honored to be able to sing in honor of the waters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank each and every one of you. And please spread the word. Let it flow. No one is going to be turned away from this circle of prayer. If you'd like to stay on and circle up with smaller groups of, we're saying women, but I believe there are some men on this call. So God bless you. It's mostly, definitely mostly women. God bless you, brave souls, for entering in with us. So if you'd like to stay on, we'll be traveling around in the small groups, some of us who are on the call, and those of you will gather you up into groups of six or so people. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and we will connect again next week. And thank you.
Ashe, thank you.
Thank you.
Ashe.